All right. Well, what I'm going to do now, I love that the team who's with us in Zambia, who we'll get to hear from directly in just a minute, and have them, Teresa will let us know who she's got with us. I love that people announce themselves because it also gives, I project, the team there a sense of who over here is on the call. So it's just really fun, amazing, really, that we get to connect in this way. And even though these days it's a relatively simple, straightforward thing to be on a conference call, which we start to take for granted, you know, I mean, really, truly, to take for granted that all over the country and the world, we could dial a bunch of numbers on this little thing and be live together is absolutely extraordinary. And in this case, I just have to really bow in deep gratitude to Sridevi and Teresa for the perseverance to really make this happen, because in this case, it actually wasn't that straightforward. And for any of you who were with us on Wednesday, that turned out to be a little bit of a trial call, and we really found out a lot on that call, and hopefully, so far, this one is working a lot more smoothly. So welcome to everyone. What I'm going to do right now is to put the call into Q&A mode. And what that will mean, for those of you who are used to radio shows, is that if you're on your phone, you'll be able to press *6 to put your, and then 1 to put yourself in the queue. If you are on a computer, I think there's a little icon somewhere that says, you know, something like, put yourself in the queue. I can't remember exactly what it says because my controls look different as the host. But at any rate, I think that's straightforward. And I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to have Teresa introduce who she's got with her, and then we're just going to open it right up for Q&A. So please do put yourself in the queue. We'd love to hear from as many folks as possible. So hang on one moment while we do that. And then I'm going to find Teresa, find you to unmute you, and a few other folks. So hang on one moment.
Hello, everyone there. This is Teresa from Zambia, Living Compassion Kantolomba. I have a friend of mine here from the team. They will introduce themselves.
Okay, great.
Hi, everybody. I'm Anne Chanda. I live in Kantolomba. I assist in the library. I assist with English and math.
Excellent. And Anne.
Everyone there.
Sorry. Go ahead, Vera.
Pardon?
Go ahead, Vera. You go.
Hi, everyone there. I'm Veronica. I'm a Kantolomba resident. I have 6 children, 2 boys and 4 girls. I work at Living Compassion at the Department of Teachers. I help children in learning.
And Val, how many grandchildren?
Right now I've got 4 grandchildren.
Yeah. Such cute little guys. Yep.
Hi, everyone. This is Memory. I'm one of the girls in the girls program. Right now, I'm doing teaching, and I help the children in learning English. Thank you.
Thank you. And Teresa, may I say just quickly, because, you know, everyone is so modest, and I project it's a little, you know, I mean, it's intimidating to get on a conference call and try to lay out your life story. But for each of those people we just heard from, just quickly to fill it out, you know, Anne said she assists in the library, but the truth is Anne's English is extraordinary, and she has a passion, really, for reading and for getting the kids interested in reading. And she has done so much towards making the library a place that kids run to, you know, when they get there on the property. You know, what are we going to read today? Oh, I want to pick out a book. And Anne is a huge part of making that happen. Veronica, I could say so much about each person, but one of the things I am so inspired, Veronica, by your life, that when the cooperative started, the first choice Veronica made when she started to receive funds for her participation in the project was she put herself back into school, starting in grade 9, right? So she put herself through grade 9, 10, 11, 12, passed her exams, and she's now studying to be an accountant. And I don't even, have you finished, Pharaoh, or are you still studying?
I've remained with two subjects to graduate in a diploma in accounting.
Oh, so exciting. So exciting. And she does a huge amount of the accounting work for Living Compassion. So she's a huge part of the financial team and an amazing teacher, too. Her head for mathematics and is extraordinary. So whenever anyone has any math thing, go see Vero, right? And then memory. Sorry, Teresa, did you have something?
No.
Okay. And then memory said she is a girl in the girls program, which is true in one sense, but she's completely a grown woman, an amazing woman. And if she wants to at some point, I'll let her tell a little bit about her background because she has a very common story to Cantalamba. There are a lot of challenges that memory has had in her life. And she ended up living with Teresa as a young person and still does. And what's one of the many things that's extraordinary about memory is that she is one of the first women to receive a scholarship to go to college. And so memory is teaching in the preschool at Living Compassion in the mornings, and in the afternoons she's getting her degree to be an actual teacher, certified teacher, through the Living Compassion Loan Program. So it's really, really exciting. So part of why we wanted to say all of that is so that as folks are looking at your questions, that if you have questions of any of those folks in particular, you're certainly welcome to ask your question of one of those members of the team. So, Mama Sherry, can I ask you to, I think you were going to continue with something you were talking to Teresa about.
Well, it doesn't need to be a big thing. I was just thinking about the last time we were there, and we were getting ready to leave, and it was the girls, the first girls had basically just gone to college, right? Yeah. The first girls from the program. And Teresa looked at me and said, "And you are coming back for their graduation." And it wasn't like she was asking me a question. I was getting direction. And I just loved it. And so you and I, Jen, were talking the other night. I think it was on open air. And I said, you know, we gotta find out when these girls are graduating because we need to book our tickets. Because Teresa said, you need to be there. And by golly, she's right. We need to be there because that is such a, it's just such an extraordinary moment in this huge adventure that we've all been on for all of these years. And I was just laughing about that when I heard Teresa's voice. I thought, I'm going to book my ticket because I don't want her to have to tell me again. to get over here, right? I want her to know it's happening.
I love it.
That's it.
Yes.
Thank you. Teresa, was there anything on your side before we get started?
From this side, Mama Sherry, don't worry. I'll send that email as soon as I hear that graduation is near. You are invited, and I already told you, you are coming for this graduation. These are our first students, and I would love you to be here. You are coming, Mama. No problem.
Okay, good. I have an invite. All right. First step.
Yes.
Thank you, Teresa. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And as we get started, Sri Devi, I just wanted to open it up to see if, as I was introducing folks, anything you would add, anything that's coming up for you as we get started.
Hi, everyone. No, it's just such a joy to be on the call, and I just, the heart connection to hear the voices of these four women, it's just, I have the biggest smile on my face. So just so excited for people to get to talk with them, and all of us to participate in this way together.
Yeah, I was so struck this morning, Sri Devi, when we've all been on the line for about 40 minutes now because we were so dedicated to it working that we were testing and all of that. And as soon as we realized it was all going to work, and so we were kind of relaxing into just being together, I was so struck, Sri Devi, how it's just like talking to your family, right? So with each person, Sri Devi's asking, okay, so Veronica, how is the haha? And Anne, what's going on with the blah, blah? And it just, it's so fun that there's the ability to have that kind of detailed connection with folks. It's really, it's an extraordinary privilege.
Yeah, it's really special. It's unlike any other experience I've ever had. I think because there's such a deep love and commitment for what we're doing together, what we're going for, and for, you know, just wanting the best, you know, for everyone to succeed in whatever way that looks like, and getting to do it together.
Yeah, amen. All right, well, we do have some folks in our queue, so I am going to go ahead and unmute our first caller. Let me see how this works exactly. Hang on. It's funny. A very odd thing is happening. I might have to take the call out of Q&A mode. When I can see the unmute button, and when I hover my cursor over it, it goes away and only gives me the option to chat with the person, which I don't want to do, of course. Let's see. It's very strange. All right, well, I'm going to take it out of Q&A mode. And then hang on. First caller, I think you're live.
Hi, this is Todd.
Oh, yay. Hey, Todd.
Am I? Oh, hi, good morning. Oh,
wow.
Yay, I'm so excited. Hi, Teresa. It's Todd calling from Kelowna, Canada.
Hello, Todd. How are you?
I'm great, Teresa. I just want to tell you how I'm just very emotional to be able to talk to you personally. I've been following the project, I believe, from the very beginning and participating in supporting the project as well. And it's been a huge support in my practice, and I'm just so inspired by what all you folks do, and just want to tell you thank you for being a part of my practice. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Todd, and you're welcome, and I'm glad that you are inspired by your work here. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Just a quick, I had a question drop in. I don't know where it came from, but a very general logistics question. Here in Canada, there's a lot of rules and regulations to do anything with government, and I was just curious, in Zambia or Cantalomba, when your project and the community there go ahead to do things, do you have to file permits? Do you have to get permission from the government? Are they much involved in the property, or do you basically get to do your own thing?
At first, that's where we had that red tape of going through government offices. But right now, we are free and we work independently. There's no red tape, I would say.
Uh-huh.
And they are
appreciating
us from what we are doing. Yes, they do appreciate.
Yes. Oh, great. Okay, well, thank you very much. I'll leave time for other folks to get on. Thanks again, and everyone in the cooperative, and thanks again for all the work you do there. It's very inspiring on this side of the world.
Thank you so much, Todd, and you're welcome.
Thank you, Teresa. Thank you, Jen.
Oh, thank you, and thank you for your, yeah, as you say, your very committed participation over many, many years from the start. All right, and let me see. Let's take our next caller. Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Margaret. Hello to Teresa and everybody.
And Teresa, I don't know, it's been a long time since you've heard Margaret's voice, but Margaret came on the same trip with, remember Bob, Electrical Bob?
Yes, I do remember.
That
Hello,
was
Margaret,
memorable.
How are you?
I'm very good, Teresa, and I do remember you too because I think I helped pick you up at the airport maybe when you came to visit along with Sister Phil.
Yes.
Something like that. So, no, I do. I have wow. participated for a long time in the project too, and it's meant so much to me, and I've learned so much from you all about, you know, just the different ways that people see the world and their part in it and, you know, and what that all, what the possibilities are for that. And I'm so inspired by, you know, how the girls are dreaming and, you know, having visions for what they want to do with their lives now that's, you know, so different. And just anything you wanted to say about that, and the boys too, because we're focusing on the girls' program, but I know that there must be young men in the community that are also doing things that with their lives that benefit the community. And then there's Peter, who's gone back to, you know, to become a trained carpenter. So I'll be quiet and let you say, or anybody there who wants to speak to that too.
Teresa, did you understand the question, or shall I fill it out a little bit? Uh-oh, hang on. Sri Devi, are you still there? Okay, let's make Margaret, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Okay. We have momentarily lost Teresa, who is connected through Sri Devi. So I'm going to, while they're working to get back on, Margaret, one of the things that I thought of when you were saying that was, oh, hang on. Let me see if that's I don't think so. Okay, I'm gonna let them take a minute to get back on the call. But at any rate, Margaret, one of the things you may have been on the Wednesday call, yeah. So we were talking a little bit about this on the Wednesday call, but many folks I think weren't on that call. So one of the things, you know, you said that, I forget how you phrased it, but, you know, the dreams, that you are inspired by the dreams that the girls have. And one of the things that, for me, has been extraordinary to watch is, you know, for those of us who grow up in a culture like the United States or Canada, or that process of dreaming is just, I think we take it for granted. It's just, you know, you ask kids, oh, what do you want to be? And, you know, how are you going to... And sort of ambition and goals and desires and all of that is just woven into the fabric of, you know, for most of us, not for everyone, but for a lot of us. And so one of the things that's been interesting is the process of, I would say, almost waking that up for folks in Cantaloma, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. it's really, you know, one of the things that I've seen is when you've got your attention on, you know, are my kids going to live? Oh, Hang on one sec. I'm going to... unmute these folks. See if that...
Jen?
Is that you?
Yeah. I'm not sure what happened, but hold on just one second. I'm going to call Teresa.
Okay, that's right. I'm going on and on here, so take your time. But so, Margaret, just that process of, you know, when you've got all of your attention on how am I going to get my kids enough nutrition to be alive? How am I going to get them water that's clean enough that's not going to create diarrhea? That, you know, it's like, okay, diarrhea, right? That's no big deal. But it is a huge deal when you don't have access to the medical care needed. And so it just spirals, right? And so all of your attention is on survival. And so as that really, you know, the survival part of the program began to be taken care of in the first few years of the program, then they really could begin to turn their attention to some of those other things that you were talking about. And Sridevi, interrupt me, please, at any point.
I was just going to say, yeah, I believe Teresa's on with us now. Teresa?
Okay, Teresa, you there?
I'm here.
Oh, perfect. So, Teresa, I started to... did you hear all of what Margaret said, Teresa?
She was cut off. We couldn't hear everything.
It was cut off. So what Margaret was asking, which I think is such a brilliant thing, and Margaret, I hope this is what you were asking, but she was talking about being so inspired by kind of that the girls, the dreams for themselves and their motivation to stay with it and to really, you know, do what needs to happen in order to do what no one else in their families has been able to do because of so many circumstances. And Teresa, I started to talk about how really inspiring it is, I think, now to the whole community and to the little girls that it's so that the older girls who are actually doing this are becoming a beacon, are becoming a an example to all the girls before them and really waking up the girls realizing, wow, I can do what I want. I can dream. I can go to college. So even though we told a little bit about that on Wednesday, I think, Teresa, I wondered if you want to talk a little bit about the image of the nursing girls carrying the four flags, the four corners of the flag, or anything else that occurs to you in terms of the example that you see that's being set for the rest of the girls at this point in Cantalamba.
Yes, Jen and Margaret. Our girls are inspiring, especially those that have gone to college, including Memory, Peculia, and Doreen. It's like they have awoken that that spirit in the other girls. It's like they're awoking example to the others. You know, there was this myth in Cantalamba where a girl child cannot go to school. That girl child is supposed to get married and have family. But now that conception is changing through Living Compassion, through these girls. They have seen that these girls can do it if they can go to college. Even their younger daughters can go to college. So some parents are coming up, pushing their girls to go to school, pushing their girls to finish school. And I'm proud to say that these girls are holding the flag, the banner of education and living compassion in Cantalamba, in Indola here, because they're going to different colleges and presenting living compassion, which is making us proud here in Cantalamba. Even if I walk in those offices, and I'm proud to announce myself that I'm coming from Living Compassion in Cantalamba. And they would ask, where in Cantalamba? That's Islam. I would say, no, it's not Islam. It's where these girls are coming from. And I'm proud of that. Yes.
That's amazing.
Jen?
I'm going to reflect that. Unless, Sridevi, do you want to underline those points, or shall I take that?
I think it'd be, please do.
Yes, because I think, Teresa, you made so many important points in that. So, for one, that it's not actually just the nursing girls. I mean, sitting right there in the room with Teresa is one of those shining examples, right, in memory. So Memory, Peculiar, and Doreen are three women who are doing teaching. So we've really got seven women who are in that situation right now. And Teresa, your point that you hold your head high, I love it when you say that. I love that image. That, you know, Cantalomba is a very poor area of Indola. And so it has, people have assumptions, like they do everywhere in the world, right? They make assumptions, and there are stereotypes and that sort of thing. But what I think your point is, Teresa, is that what's happening is that we're breaking down those stereotypes, and we're showing, you know, Cantalomba is an amazing community, and amazing things are happening in that community. And so when you go into those schools to, you know, help the girls get registered or, you know, for applications or that sort of thing, you hold your head high saying, I'm coming from Living Compassion in Cantalomba, because our reputation is becoming so strong, because once the girls get there, they're becoming the top of their class. It's the same thing with our little girls, right? I mean, Teresa, our five grade one girls who went into the private school, whose parents were very worried, these girls are going to be with all these other kids who are from a much more privileged background. But guess what happened? Our girls swept the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 spots in their grade one this year. The top 5 spots went to our 5 girls.
Yes.
Yeah. Did I miss any points we would want to underline there? I feel like there were more than that, but
Jan?
Yes, Sherry.
Yeah, well, I wanted to just quickly go back to something that happened earlier, which was when Todd asked about red tape and the government, and to point that out as another example of what Teresa is talking about and what Margaret is asking about, which is when we first went there, the government was not happy. Right. Yep. And wanted all kinds of, to meet standards and regulations and, you need to this and you need to that and you need to. But over time, with what Teresa and the rest of the team has done there, the government has actually realized that Cantalomba is a tremendous benefit to the community and is able to self-govern in a way that nobody needs to worry about. They're actually producing better results than the government can produce. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct, Mama Sherry. You're correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's huge. And then that just goes along with what you just said about the first five spots in that private school.
The
education that's happening, the lifestyle that's happening in Cantalomba that these people are providing for these children is preparing them to be successful in a way the rest of the society, the city itself is not able to do.
Yeah.
It's pretty big.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's so big. Yeah. So, Margaret, anything else from you on that, or from Teresa, or anyone?
I just really thank you very much, all of you, for filling that out. I mean, talking about that in its full extent. And what really strikes me too is hearing about is it Beryl that went back to school and finished grade, not all those grades, and then is doing the on her own. And so that's such a, stunning.
Stunning.
I'm just so proud of her and all of, everyone. Yeah. I mean, all of us. Anyway, thank you.
So inspiring. Yeah, thank you, Margaret. And just briefly, Teresa, I'll tell you that we were having a conversation on one of our other radio shows or Mama Sherry and I were to, or no, Mama Sherry was talking to someone else, actually, and we were talking about Bertha and her perseverance in just trying grade 9 again and again. And Mama Sherry was, you know, joking, but not joking, that, you know, for each of us, when we have difficult things in our lives, we can just remember something like that. Remember Bertha. Remember her ability to stick with it and to keep trying no matter what. And I think, I project that's one of the things people are so inspired by in this project in general, is just everyone's ability to really hang in there and do hard things, because it is hard. There are a lot of hard things.
Yes.
All right. Well, I am going to take our next caller. So, next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, everybody. This is Sister Phil. You remember
me,
Teresa?
Hi, Sister Phil.
Yeah, I just
yeah. Not only remember Sister Phil, but I would say miss a lot. Always
oh,
after.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm glad I missed in a way, because I think of you people. I mean, you and your team. Every single day, you're a part of my life, and I pray for you all every morning, and I want you
Thank
to know
you.
That. Yeah, and I just get so excited whenever, you know, the information comes our way. And, I mean, it's just, to me, the whole project, the visit there, the being able to be part of the, you know, the beginning of the English program, all of that was just so heart-opening for me and so... I mean, it just meant so much to me to be able to meet all of you and be there with you.
Thank you, Sister Phil, and we are still doing the Ginky. You left the, yeah, you left Ginky, and it's still going on.
Wow. That always makes me so happy when I read that or hear about that.
Left and right, forward and back.
I was just going to say that, Meryl. Doesn't it make you want to sing it? Left and right, forward and back.
Oh, I know. They're stuck in our heads, aren't they? Oh, geez.
Who can, I wish... I was just going to say, Sister Phil, I wish Beatrice was there to tell the story. Do you guys remember the Beatrice telling us about, I forget who it was, whoever was her baby at the time, her toddler? Do you remember that, Teresa? Or shall I tell the story?
Yes.
I should. Anyway, just quickly. Oh, do you remember,
yes,
Teresa?
The baby would keep... Yes, I do. When she said the baby will always remember left and right, forward and back, and to keep on singing and singing and singing.
And it was so funny because this was, I mean, this was a toddler just learning how to talk. And Beatrice was like, what are they, you know, what, I think it was a he, what's he saying? What's he doing? And then she realized from his siblings, and other kids in the community, none of which were actually in the program, that literally those songs, those little English songs in that Genki program that Sister Phil introduced, went like, I guess you would say, went viral in the community.
Yeah.
And so just all the neighbors were singing it. And so we were all, oh, my gosh, it was just too funny. She was, I just remember Beatrice laughing so hard coming in one day telling us that story.
Oh yeah, I mean that was just the one, I probably the highlight of my life, being there and being able to be in that, you know, in that program with everybody. So yeah, it's still, I think it's, for me, it's still a highlight. I mean, it's just brilliant the way the folks there, you know, are just keeping everything up and going along. And these kids growing up to be, you know, have possibilities and opportunities. It's just wonderful. So I just want to thank you for, you know, allowing me to be part of that, and just be, I feel like I'm still a part of the team.
And Teresa,
thank you so
this thank could be a fun opening to say a little bit about those grade 5 girls, because those were the ones that were in the Yinky program, right?
Oh.
Yes, those were the ones that were in Yinky program. Sister Phil, I'm proud to tell you that the knowledge you imparted in those children, the first English class that you introduced at Living Compassion, they are the ones that are doing the best at the private school we took them to. That is Ntwabo here in Mushiri. They made it amongst all the grade ones. They were the best 5. And there are 5 of them. Very good.
So,
they have not they have not forgotten what you taught them.
That is so exciting. That really is so exciting.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So thank you. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
I love you. I love you all. You got to know that. And
I love you too.
Thank you, Sister Phil.
Thank you.
All right. I'm going to take the next caller. Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Laura from California. And hi all. I am just so buzzy. That's so fabulous. So when you were all introducing yourselves, I unmuted it and let my children, who are 15 and 11, hear all your voices. And since they were born is when I got started in this project. And we have pictures of different members of the team on our fridge. And you were just incorporated in our life, And so I asked the boys if they had any questions for you. And our youngest, he's 11. He said, I told him about them. You know, I said, these are the ones who are going to college and are in the schools. And his body shook and he goes, I can't believe that they're doing it. Tell them I'm so happy for them. So I wanted to pass along that message from my 11-year-old. And the question that we came up with is he often struggles with wanting to do homework. And so wondering, how do you all, you know, deal with that struggle when there's homework to do and things? Is it hard? And if so, what do you do?
With homework here, we do help the children. They come with their homework when they come to eat at the property, or when they come to eat their lunch. We have a class there where Veronica is and Memory is. That's where they go if they have homework. We sit down with them and go through with them with their homework. If they come out of school late, there's always someone in their home, maybe a brother or a sister, who can help with their homework. But most of the time, it's at the property when they come to have lunch. That's when we do their homework with them.
So what
and
I love about that... Oh, sorry.
No, you go ahead, Laura.
Well, I guess what I take from that is just when I'm with my son and we're doing things together, it's much easier to do stuff together than it is to do it alone. That support.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I was just going to say, Teresa, that I think, well, actually, all three, Memory, Anne, and Veronica, all, that's a big part of what they do, I think, is when the children come to the property to eat, they help them with their schoolwork. So I wonder if maybe we could start with Anne. Anne, can you say a little bit about how you help the students with their schoolwork? Do they come to the library?
I help them in reading. Yes, in reading.
In reading?
If they come with the homework in English, spelling, even the conversation, we make the conversation, two kids speaking together, greeting, telling them where they stay, and how they communicate with their friends at school.
I see. Okay. So if if students need help with reading or writing or spelling or even in communicating, even in having conversations with each other, that's you are the person that they would come to for that.
Yes.
Okay. And Anne, that made me think of one other thing. Oh, yes. But Anne, I think my understanding is that you really help motivate the children to speak English. In other words, to practice their English. Instead of always speaking Bemba together, I think you're really working to motivate them to help to practice their English. Is that right?
Yes, it is. I teach them English.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things that's tricky is that the English, especially what we've found out, is the American accent is tricky for people. Teresa is now very used to it. But Teresa, even in the beginning, you told me you had trouble understanding us, right?
Yes, that's true. It's only that you have become part of my family, which is the family of Cantonom, and we've gotten used to you. Isn't it? You are speaking very fast. We do understand. Yeah.
And part of the way we discovered that was when Anna, another monk at the monastery, when Anna traveled with us to Cantalomba, it's so funny because I would say something and people would say, come again, Jen? What was that? And then Anna would say it and they totally understood it in her British accent. So anyway, I only offer that because I think on a phone call like this, it's challenging to get to hear in a more detailed way from everyone because I think our accents are tricky to understand, especially over a phone connection. So just for people to have that context, that it's a little bit, it's hard to hear people's, you know, it's just challenging. So, Memory or Veronica, did either of you want to say about homework or how you fit with students and help them or your own homework? Both of you have had a lot of experience with your own homework.
Yeah, so you can help as you know me very well, I'm a mathematician, good in mathematics. So I help the children. Once they brought the homework in mathematics, I have to help them. It's not only those small children, even the grade 10, grade 9, grade 12.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So you do have a lot of your own experience in homework because, Lordy knows, when you're studying economics, you have plenty of homework. Accounting. You have a lot of homework. But also, when students come and they have an issue in mathematics, not just the little students, but the older, especially, I would say, the older students, you know, the grade 9s, the grade 10s, the grade 11s, 12s, I mean, I would look at that homework when we're in Cantalomba, and I say, sorry, I can't help you at all with that. So really, Veronica is the person that people go to, especially with that higher level mathematics.
Yes.
Yep. All right. Anything else, Laura, about that?
No, that's super inspiring, and it is my wish one day to join you all on a trip so I can meet you all face to face.
Oh, we would all love it.
You're welcome. We can't wait to see you.
Yeah. Laura, I will tell you, you've read this as well, but there's nothing really quite like a welcome when you first get to the property in Cantalomba. It's extraordinary.
I look forward to it one day.
All right. Very good. Thank you.
Hey, Jan.
Yes.
Sherry butting in again. Okay. One other thing about talking about what you're talking about now, I can remember us, you referenced, I couldn't help them with the homework. We would go into these classrooms
And these kids are, I don't know, they look 8, 9, 10 years old, right? And they've got stuff written on their chalkboard, and we just look at each other like, well, I'm glad we don't have to answer those questions. So exactly. For people to realize when these kids go to these exams, this is not lightweight stuff. I mean, that the education system in Zambia is very difficult because it's a poor country. And so they don't have a lot of money. But the tests that these kids have to take are high-level tests, right?
Yeah,
so
which,
big applause to the people who are getting those kids ready for this. I think about, you know, our teachers there on the property and the job that they're doing in preparing these kids, because it's extraordinary.
Truly, truly. I mean, both the curriculum is as rigorous a curriculum as I've ever encountered. And you pair that with, as you say, because the resources are such a challenge, normally you've got students in classrooms with 70 or more children in the classroom. And I mean, having had some teaching experience myself, I don't know how you wouldn't just run screaming from the classroom.
And sometimes they go for an hour a day.
Yeah, exactly. So you're going to squeeze all of that. It's not set up for success. Yeah. Yeah, it's extraordinary. It really, really is. Yeah. So Anne, Memory, Teresa, Veronica, our hats off to you. Don't know how you do it. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
All right, shall we take our next caller?
Okay.
Oops. Okay, that's interesting. That reverted back to its old behavior. All right, next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anna from Seattle.
Hey, Anna.
Can you hear me? Yeah. Hi. Yeah, I wanted to say hi, and wow, really inspiring just to hear everybody. I was wondering, when is that graduation of those young women happening? Because I want to go to Cantalomba.
Good question. Teresa, do you know when it's going to be, the nursing graduation, when that will happen?
Yeah, it will be next year. The graduation
next year,
but the date, next year, yes, 2021. But the date, I will communicate to the date. And you're welcome to come.
And do you have an idea which month it will be, Teresa?
No, I don't know the month, but they'll be graduating next year.
Okay.
Oh, cool. Well,
and
our
girls started, two of them started in one part of the year, and two of them started 6 months later. Is there one graduation per year so that all of our girls will graduate at the same time, or will they graduate at different times?
Yes, there will be one graduation.
Oh, great. Okay. So they will, they'll all graduate together. Well,
okay.
Anna, I think it's an amazing idea. I think we should just take over and just have a huge Living Compassion section of the graduation.
Yes, for sure. This project and just hearing about it is so helpful. I mean, because I'm living over here, you know, like a really good life, but, you know, just ego is like taking me to all those small places, and just hearing about like something real, you know, just so helpful. I really need that. And I was also wondering, go ahead.
Well, Anna, you please continue, and then I love what you just said, and so I'm going to make sure that Teresa and the team understand that, because
anyway, I just, yeah, please continue, and then I'll fill that out a little bit.
Yeah, I was also curious if it's, people at Living Compassion in Cantalamba, does recording and listening also get implemented there, or would it be like something that could even be helpful, or would be needed, or I'm just curious about
question.
That.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to put those two things together. Thank you for that. So, Teresa, what Anna was saying is, and you and I have talked about this, because we've talked about, you have Mama Sherry's books in the library, right? And we've, amongst some of the team, we've talked about some of those, that place where inside of our own heads, we realize there can be just a negative conversation, right? No, you're not good enough, and you can't do that, and, you know, I mean, something like, well, you're from Cantalamba, so you're not going to be, you can't go, you know, everyone else is going to be better than you, or something like that. And so what we've realized in talking in Cantalamba about that is that's something, as far as we can tell, everyone everywhere in the world has, that everyone has some version of that, having to deal with that negative thing that goes on inside of each of our own heads. And Teresa, I don't know if you could, you folks on that side could really get what Anna was saying, but I think what she's pointing at is that, you know, here, you know, maybe I have plenty to eat, and I have, you know, plenty of clothing, and I have a car I can drive, and all of those things, but I forget to be grateful for that, because that negative conversation in my head is only focused on what's wrong. You know, well, but I wish I had a better car, or I wanted the red one, or, you know, silly little things like that, right? And so I think what Anna is saying is it's so helpful to have an inspiring project like this to focus on, because it helps us to put the attention on gratitude instead of to have the attention pulled into that negativity. Does that make sense, Teresa?
Yes, it does. And since the inception of Living Compassion here in Cantalamba, we have grown to be a very tight-knit family, and people are coming in through bringing their children. You know, we have 1,000 children in the project, and they are part of family, including their parents. So it's a tight-knit family type of setup, and we are very happy and glad that we are helping each other in one way or in another. We are giving them food, and in return they are bringing these children, making sure that they are going to school, they are keeping them clean, which is our gratitude from this end.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that, I think, as you're saying, Teresa, it helps on all levels, because it, to make the connection with what we were speaking about earlier with all of these women going to college, so we're also helping on the level of what happens inside of my own mind in terms of what I believe I can accomplish, right? Because we're supporting each other to realize you can do this. It doesn't matter where you're from or how much money you have or any of those. That doesn't matter. You can still achieve what you want to achieve with the support of this whole Living Compassion family.
Yeah.
And Anna, was there something else you were going to say?
No, so there's just so much more. I just understand it as, you know, there's so much more important things going on than that conversation in the mind. So it's not really a topic of, like, thought. Or so, you know? Yeah.
I do.
As much. Yeah.
And you know what, Anna? I've heard Sherry right from the start of this project talk about that. Talk about how that's what makes an opportunity like this so perfect to have in a Sangha that is waking up and ending suffering, for that very reason. because it's such a tangible reminder and invitation to get up out of that conversation in our head, which can be challenging to do. And this is really concrete motivation to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I think we have time for, thank you, Anna. I think we have time for one more caller. Next caller, you're live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi, this is Nancy from Bellingham, Washington. And I'm so excited to be on to talk to Teresa and the ladies. So I have also been part of this since the beginning and have supported it. And I think the conversation with Anna just really brings home to me the beauty of this whole thing as well. And the big highlight for me, I remember years ago, was when we were able to bring water to the community. And I was so excited when that happened, and it really brought home, yes, they have clean water, and I have clean water. I've had clean water my whole life, and this is the first time that they have clean water. How exciting can that be? You know, I mean, it was just so great to be able to experience that with the community. So,
and especially Teresa and Veronica, you remember that day, right?
Yes, we do.
Yeah,
it was great to follow along with all of that. So, so anyway, yes, it really is humbling to know that what our problems are on this side of the world are, you know, that conditioning talks about, just kind of, you know, I mean, it just, they don't mean anything. And so it's great. And what I wanted to ask is, are there any programs or future ideas about programs for the men of the community? I know Peter is very active, I believe, but I was wondering if there was some programs that are in the works, or if maybe there already are, and I don't know.
Well, I can just quickly speak to the official side of it. The intention is 100% there. There are no official programs in the works, but Teresa or anyone else, do you want to talk about kind of what you're seeing in the long term in terms of how to support the boys? And also, I mean, there are ways you're already supporting the boys, so maybe you could talk about that.
Yes, so as the boys on our team, we are supporting them in a way. For example, for the boys that are in school, they do come to have some time with Charles and Veronica and helping them with their work at school. Then for the men like Peter is in skill school. He's doing a skill. He's doing carpentry. He's training right now. He's finishing. Yes?
Yep. Yeah. And so, careful. Yeah, I mean, we don't keep specific statistics, but in theory, you know, something like 50% of those 1,000 children who are eating are boys. And
yes.
So, and I think, Nancy, your point is such a good one, because, of course, you know, in order for change to happen, all of the, you know, we're all going to have to do it together. And I think the reason we and so many programs, of course, start with the girls is that I think Teresa said it very early on. In fact, thank you for saying that, because I didn't get to underline that piece, that Teresa said there used to be, she used the word myth, I think, but there was no point in educating a girl because she's going to get married young, right? Like 13, 14 years old.
Oh, yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah, get married. And so that's changing. And so that's really big. And I think sort of like the analogy I just thought of, Nancy, is in the same way that when we first got there, we needed to focus on food and water, before we got to education, and now we're to education, you know, kind of similarly. We needed to really focus on the girls, and as we get our feet under us, I think the boys will be coming along the track.
Well, the fact that the girls are changing and changing how they view their future, and that they do have a future, and that it doesn't necessarily have to mean getting married at 15 or whatever, that will definitely change the dynamics for sure.
Exactly.
For the men or for the boys. So I can see how that is definitely, you know, you change yourself first and then, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's great.
Thank you, Nancy.
Well, it's such an
and briefly,
yes,
briefly,
please,
not
Sharon.
To get terribly political, but just like in this country and every other country around the world, the opportunities for boys are there. The opportunities for girls are not. And so, yes, down the road, but the difference in the life experience of a girl and the life experience of a boy is truly dramatic.
Oh, I get that.
Really
Well, I'm truly inspired by the work that is happening there, and so happy to be a part of it. And it is like we're all one, and that's so wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Truly. Thank you,
Thank
Nancy.
You.
Well, I can't believe it, but we are, in fact, at the top of the hour, at the end of our time. So, Teresa, anything that you or anyone else on that side wanted to say before we bring the call to a close?
Yeah, we just want to say thank you so much, Jane and everyone. Thank you so much. Mbuya, Mama Sherry, thank you so much.
Thank you, Veronica.
I would like just to say thank you, Mama Jenny, thank you, Shri Devi, thank you, Mama Sherry, and the whole team. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Anne.
I just want to say thank you for what you are doing to us. Thank you, Mama Sherry, thank you, Jane, and thank you, Shri Devi.
Thank you,
Mama.
Well, that's it,
Jen. Thank you. Thank you so much from this end. We had a wonderful time. Thank you so much.
Isn't
this where we say no? No, 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 no. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Exactly. Can I describe Teresa and Mama Sherry and other folks who have been there can picture it? But they have this beautiful way of making what we would call deep gesho. When one is really, really grateful for something, you bow, just like we would when we make gesho, and then you come all the way down onto your knees. I'm going to do it as I'm talking. All the way down onto your knees, and then you lie on one side with your hands in prayer position, and then you lie on the other side with your hands in prayer position. And that symbolizes we are deeply, deeply grateful for everything you are and everything you do. So we are all doing that, Teresa, Memory, Veronica, and Anne. And please pass our greetings to the rest of the team. Hugs to everyone.
We will, Jen. We will, definitely.
Okay.
And thank you, all everyone. Around.
Yeah, thank you, everyone on the call. And anything else from Sri Devi, Sherry?
Love and hugs.
Just a big hug and deep gratitude.
Thank you.
And you know, what's going on with this is for everybody. So, I mean, I hope everybody on this side, living compassion on this side of the water, living compassion on that side of the water, we all feel that love and hug, right? That it's not just they're sending it to us and we're sending it to, you know, we're all
we're all giving it and receiving it together. And that's what makes it so special.
Yes. Wow. It is so special.
Tuatotela.
What a perfect ending there is.
Tuatotela.
All right. Yes. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.